What is that, I say?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just because you asked for a little homilette, I'll give you a short teaching. First in English, and then I'll give you a different one in Spanish. Today is the feast day of Saint Turribius of Mongrovo. Are you familiar with this saint? Saint Turribius? Teribio? Saint Turribius, or Teribio, is one of the great saints of the church. He was a man profoundly touched by God and in love with him from his very earliest moments of his youth. As he grew up there in Spain, was such a devout child that even his parents and close familiars recognized his great dedication and virtue from the earliest of ages. God blessed his mind so that he was able to take on many great things, being able to study in many of the great universities there in Europe, and was even put at the use of those who were the royals at the time. And because he lived his life so well and was made, in essence, a governor of a small area, so discharging his duties with great facility, bringing peace to the area that was around there, and in such a way that didn't smack of even the slightest bit of corruption or taking bribes or favoring the rich or the poor in either of his dealings, that everybody saw his great goodness. There came to be known as Spain had expanded its empire throughout the New World, and especially into South America, that there was a vacancy that was coming up in one of the churches there for the bishop. There was no bishop of Peru because he died. And so there in that long distant place, there was no question upon the mind of who it was that they would nominate for this position. Turribius. One problem. Turribius wasn't even a priest yet. He was just a man. Just a man who was devout. A man who was in love with God. And so here was this layman who had done great things, and everybody around said there's no greater one to take the place there in Peru than this man. And so what happened? Every Sunday, he was raised one rank in the church, beginning at the lowest level of exorcist, all the way up each week successively. He was taking on a new role in those steps toward ordination that a priest must take, finally being consecrated a bishop. Shortly afterwards, he was sent over there by ship to Peru, and as soon as he arrived, immediately began reforming the clergy that were there. Seeing all the abuses that were there, and by his own way of life and his penances, the way in which he lived himself was so exemplary that those who were doing evil around him were so ashamed that they put their evil away. He was a man who wasn't given to leisure or to taking care of himself. He reminded those who were around him always of the example of the Lord. He said, "The Lord did not call us to be concerned for the body of ourselves, but to be concerned for his body." He was speaking not of his physical body, or even the body of Christ in the Eucharist, but he was talking about the body of Christ lived out in his people. And so he took no occasion to prepare for himself, but went on many various visits around the whole of his diocese, which was the whole nation of Peru. Vast and uncharted as it was, going through everywhere else that he was so that he could spread the gospel to all the peoples who were there. He didn't look to stay away from the robbers or the thieves who were there, but he said, if Christ is the one who gave up his body for us, so we why should we fear to give up our body for him? And so he went. This man of great virtue and pursuit of the gospel can inspire us even today, as he inspired the lives of two who he baptized. When he was sent to Peru, he baptized the two greatest saints after him in Peru. He was the one who baptized St. Rose of Lima. He's the one who baptized San Martin de Porres. And it was through his own life of virtue that both of these saints were inspired to pursue the life of sanctity. These two saints who were there within Lima, Peru, meeting this great holy bishop at various times, though they never made contact between the two of them, though living at the very same time, were so inspired by St. Turribius' life of virtue that they themselves saw that sanctity was not something that was reserved for a precious few that somehow followed God in a radical way, but was something open even to themselves. And so to each of us who are here. At this time, though we're not able to have Mass, though we're not able to remain close with the Lord like we desire to during Holy Communion, our Lord invites us to make a spiritual act of communion at this time. How do we make that spiritual act of communion? It's merely by turning to the Lord. If the Lord is present to us at every moment, at every instance of our life, so long as we do not leave the Lord first by mortal sin, we can make communion with him. All it takes is a simple prayer. How do we make that prayer? In simple words, turning to the Lord, saying, "Lord Jesus, I wish I could receive you. I wish you were here with me. I can't receive you. But I know that you are with your people. At some place throughout the world, the Mass is being offered. I wish to unite myself at this moment, where I am here now, with that priest who is offering the sacrifice of the Mass at this time. Lord, may I receive with devout devotion the graces that would be if I were to receive you in the Eucharist. Allow me not to offend you, for I need this strength. Grant me this grace that I may love you always, and then help me to do, then you can do with me whatever it is that you yourself will and desire. And by making these firm movements of our own souls, that's how you and I become saints. St. Rose of Lima made the same. There are many times where she herself was unable to go to Holy Communion because there was nobody to take her to Mass. And so she would remain out in a little hermitage that she constructed in the garden of her family property, distant from everybody so that she could suffer alone. She would make those same spiritual acts of communion frequently. There she had a hope that one day somebody would take her to Mass. Here at this time, we don't know how long this virus will continue, nor how long our governor will keep things closed, nor how long our bishop will not allow us to celebrate the Mass in a public fashion so that we can receive Holy Communion. Ask our Lord for that grace, that even if we can't receive him physically, that we can at least, by uniting ourselves to the mystical body of Christ that receives the Lord constantly, especially in his priests who celebrate his sacrifice ceaselessly at every hour of the day throughout the world, that we may receive the merits thereof, that we as the whole church may be strengthened, and through this fast that we are suffering from the Eucharist at this time, can find a true union with Christ in eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.